Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Vaughn Reese on the line, and he's founder and CEO at Haywire AI. Vaughn, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thanks, Adam.
So for the audience, I've been trying to get Vaughn. First came on my scene or on my radar, I don't know, a couple years ago during the middle of the pandemic. I'm playing golf with Daniel Atwater. We're over here playing, and I shouldn't say I'm playing. He's playing, and I'm just terrible. And he's like, man, I got to introduce you to Vaughn. So finally we met up. I don't know, I went at an event recently, and I was like, finally we got Vaughn on the show. So Vaughn, about time to have you here, man, right?
Hey, you know, I'm glad to be here. He has also been talking to me about you guys for such a long time. You guys are on fire, so I'm really happy to be here. And
awesome. So Vaughn, I know overall today we're going to be talking about AI and journalism. Of course, I want to get into the work that you're doing over at Haywire AI and get into that platform as well. But I mean, first off, like how did you get into this whole entrepreneurship thing? Like where did it begin for you?
Oh, man. You know, I tell people the longest job I've ever had in my life was 5 months, not counting Pepe's Pizza during junior high and school.
Man, that counts. Go ahead.
I'm talking about post-high school. You know, no, I've just always been, even in high school, I actually had my own business. I was a mobile mechanic, believe it or not. But I've always feel like I ever was able to work somewhere and just kind of do repetitive whatever someone else is doing, you know, or wants me to do, whatever. So my whole life, I've always been, you know, and I've had in my lifetime, you know, I'm pretty old. So in my lifetime, without exaggeration, I've probably had 20, 30 businesses, bought and sold businesses. You know, I tell people, I joke that I do startups like people have lunch, you know. But yeah, no, I love it. It's exciting. And it's also, you know, very nerve-wracking at points.
That's awesome. And I think, correct me if I'm off on this, I might be off because I know me and Daniel, we're always talking about something, but you were or are, speaking of the startups and companies, you had newspapers, right? At one point, or are you still in the newspaper business?
Yeah. We have a group of community newspapers in Southern California, 24 community newspapers. I started that company back in 1996. And they're still around, believe it or not, doing well.
No, I do believe it. I was just wondering. I just wanted to make sure my memory wasn't off on this one. But yeah, because I think it's interesting when I think about like your skill set for what I know of it, that to be in that business, you know, super traditional media and way of, you know, conveying information. And then now kind of going on the continuum, like now with your current project, Haywire AI, like how do you feel about kind of this new direction we're going for content?
Yeah, you know, I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of publisher friends, and some of them are super old school. You know, one advantage I have, I'm in this old crusty newspaper business, but I'm also a techie and a geek, and for years, I
won't use the word old crusty because I love newspapers, but I will say that's what I see when I talk to you. As I juxtapose like your skill set and your businesses, you have a very unique vantage point because you see both sides.
I love the newspaper business. I love news in general. I love journalism. I'm passionate about it. That's why I'm in it. You know, nobody goes into journalism and news for money. You know, you go in it because you're passionate. You have a mission. You know, you want to make a difference. And so that's why I started it back in 1996. You know, I wasn't running the company for several years, and then I stepped back in early 2020, right before the pandemic. And in fact, that's how Haywire came to be, is that I stepped back into that company and I decided, hey, I am a geek. We're tech people. So why don't we bring some of that to this old company of mine? And so we started to look at how we could scale our content, like good quality content at scale. And, you know, we looked at a few different tools. And one of the tools we looked at was the existing AI at the time. And we quickly discovered that those, the tools at that time were not even in the same universe as being able to generate what you would consider like journalistic quality content, right? Like they didn't have the functionality that, you know, there's a lot, you know, that needs to be done to create content ready to be published as news, right? We couldn't use any of the tools at that time because they were just not ready. they were actually counterproductive. There was, you know, it would have taken longer to use those than just traditional methods. So then we decided, you know what, we're geeks, let's build our own, because the underlying technology of AI is powerful. And so maybe we can work with that. So then my co-founder and I, Sam Kubert, we basically sat down for about 8 months, worked with our patent attorney, mm-hmm. who was actually specialized in AI patents. That's all he does. And we worked together for about 8 months, and we created the architecture for what we felt would be something that we'd be proud of. That, you know, we said, look, there are all these tried and true methods and processes that journalists have been using for, you know, for 100 years. Let's take the existing AI and bend it to our will, essentially, to do proper journalism, right? And so we did that. We created that. We filed a patent on some of that process. And then about 6 months ago, we started development. And today we have, you know, we're live. Haywire.ai is available. And we're in beta. We have about, you know, 50, 60 clients that were invite only that have been testing it. And we've gotten great feedback. And we're really proud of the, you know, what we can generate now. In fact, we've been using our own product in our own news organization. So we have many, many AI generated stories or articles that we've been publishing in our own publication.
Wow, that's super interesting. And I think that I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Like, so essentially, before we go there, let's go here. Tell me how the platform works, because I've obviously looked at it. I've obviously been on the website and otherwise, but our listeners haven't. Tell us on how the platform works.
Sure. So we've essentially created an AI, and her name is Wells, in honor of Ida B. Wells, a legendary journalist. Mm. So what Wells does is, once you give it some minimal instruction, you say, let's say you're the editor at an organization, and you get on the platform and you say, I want stories about crime in Los Angeles. I want you to focus on smash and grab crime.
Mm.
I want 500 word stories, and I want 5 of those a week. Like, give me one a day at 10 a.m. updates, whatever. And, you know, go. That's it. That's all you need to do. Then Wells, on schedule, whatever you've scheduled, and that could be 5 a week or 5 an hour or 5 every 5 minutes. You know, it's the capability is endless. So Wells goes, and, you know, we ingest about just under 3 million stories a month from global sources. Wells finds the appropriate stories related to what you just assigned, brings that story in, looks to see if there are any other stories about that anywhere else, brings in corroborating stories, articles, gathers all the facts from those, compares all the facts to make sure that there's consensus, that there's, you know, there's accuracy, generates a story. When it generates the story, it's already been run through plagiarism filters, so you can make sure that there's no plagiarism in it. And then we run it through, this is where our patent comes in, where we take the story and we run it again through these accuracy checkers that we've created, accuracy filters, so to speak, against all the various multiple sources. And then we actually will come back and show you, hey, click here for accuracy. Like, it says, okay, we found that 92% of the story is 100% corroborated, so 100% accurate. Okay, you click on that and you can see that 92% highlighted in the story. And then 6% of it is unsupported. Doesn't mean it's not true or, you know, contradictory. It's just not supported. It's not something that we saw here, but it is maybe just sort of like a description of something or a title of something. So it's not it's not factual that needs to be checked. We're just telling you this part of this highlights those for you so you can see what those sentences are. And then let's say, oh, I found like 3% of the story or 2 or 3% of the story is actually contradicted. And it highlights that for you. So you're like, oh, so what is this? What's contradicted is typically where, like, there will be 3 stories about the same event, but there will be some kind of a contradictory information in it. Like, for example, let's say 2 sources said that this event happened at 4 o'clock, but one of them has a typo, or for whatever reason, they said it happened at 6 o'clock. It actually catches that and it highlights it for you and says, hey, you should check this fact out. you know, and it even shows you where it is, what sources it came from, and where within those sources it came from that you can, you know. So it's a huge time saver for an editor who's trying to put out. So just to put that in perspective, like, you know, we have journalists and editors on staff, and we have a rock star journalist, somebody who's, you know, experienced, veteran of the field. We bring him in, him or her in, and we say, look, we want you to, you know, give us stories. And if they can do one or two stories a day, we're ecstatic. Wow, that's some production. Wells can do, you know, five stories a minute.
Mm.
And they're the same quality. They're on that quality. We would put our stories up against any, you know, sort of any sort of a story generated by a junior reporter, mm-hmm. for example, right?
Mm.
So, and we don't auto-publish. We don't allow that. So everything, once it's been generated and all the information has been provided so the editor can look at it, instead of spending, you know, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, editing, verifying various facts in the story, checking, you know, all these things, it's all there. An editor can typically go through a story, verify all the facts, and even regenerate parts of it if they want, like automatically with a click. I don't like how you phrase this paragraph or this sentence. You just highlight it, regenerate, boom. So what could take an hour and a half to 2 hours by an editor on Wells can be done literally in about, you know, 8 minutes.
Wow. This leads to so much possibility, because much of what you're even talking about nowadays is it's so tricky at times to even fact check or to do some of the things that, because of the amount of quality and quantity as well of, like, or I should say the quantity that's required for news outlets and otherwise. So when you think about some of the fact checking that gets missed, I'm like, man, I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm like, is this might be, I'm not going to make a broad statement and say for everyone, but this might actually at times improve the quality of journalism being put out, because there's so much, it's almost like the crowdsourcing the facts to a certain extent.
I mean, look, human error is a thing, and
yeah.
And you know what? So is AI. AI error is a thing also.
Sure. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I'm not going to say that this is completely error free and that we've, you know,
created this
perfect AI organism that, the, you know,
No, however,
so yeah, so for sure. I mean, we, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? So we have credible sources. Yeah. We have over 140 sources globally that we draw data from. It really is about where you're getting your data. And then once you get the data, what do you do with it? How do you extrapolate facts from that, how you compare those facts, how do you prioritize those, and then once you generate, what tools do you provide for checking afterwards, right? So we've taken all of this into consideration, and so it's not a, you know, hey, you just turn this on and you don't need a newsroom anymore. In fact,
of course,
our intention is the exact opposite. Like, the reason we started this was because we wanted to give our human reporters time to be able to go and do real journalism and to go do the investigative stuff that AI cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there are absolutely limits to AI and what Wells can do. And our whole intention was to free up time for journalists by doing this sort of like regurgitating mundane part of almost all news organizations have to do to have volume of content. And so if we can take over this task, then the journalists that are on staff can actually go back to city council meetings, which they don't do anymore, right?
Mm.
Go back to interviewing real subjects about real events and things that are happening that AI just simply cannot do, right?
Mm.
So our intention is to actually increase the occurrence of original investigative journalism through humans.
That's awesome. And I think there's also, correct me if I'm off on this, there's also like kind of like, so that's one component that we built out. And then I think there's a one use case for it is, of course, for AI and journalism, but there's also a marketing component there for this too, right? Like, and for terms of like thought leadership and marketing and otherwise, right? Like, there's other applications.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, we built it for news because we thought, if you build it for news with the level of complexity and rigor required to generate journalistic quality content, then you can almost generate anything with that, right? And so, you know, thought leadership is a huge element in marketing now, right? Like, so content marketing, thought leadership is super important in establishing a business or an individual, a professional in whatever field they're in, right? So let's say I'm a tenant and I'm in need of an attorney for some kind of a landlord dispute, right?
Mm-hmm.
I read news all the time and I happen to see an article from a local attorney that was talking about tenant rights. Okay. And let's say I saw that a month ago while I'm just perusing through the news, right? And now today I need an attorney. I can go Google landlord, real estate attorneys and just randomly pick someone. Or I remember, I read this article by this guy. He must be an expert in this particular thing. I'm going to call that dude, right?
Mm.
So establishing yourself as an expert in your field, whatever that field is, whether you're putting out articles about the latest trends in dental technology as a dentist in your community, right? The latest trends in whatever legal matters that you specialize in, flowers, anything, whatever it is that's your passion, that's your expertise that you provide as a service or a product, there's always news about that. And if you can establish yourself as an expert in that within your community, then you're light years ahead of your competitors. And so the same way, so I have a friend who's a dentist and I showed him this. He's actually the CEO of a global dentistry company. And he's like, I would love to put out a blog. I've been wanting to put out a blog, but I just don't have time. I'm CEO. I'm running this multinational company. I don't have time to sit down and write about various technologies that are being developed right now for dental technology. Did you know there's a CT scan for your skull that you just stand in this machine? I saw this at my dentist's office and I was blown away. You put your head inside this thing. You're just standing. You put your head inside this little halo thing. And next thing you know, there's a 3D image of your entire skull, your teeth, your everything. It was fascinating to me. But I mean, I'm like, okay, you know what? So he wants to do this. So I went on to Wells on our platform and I said, okay, latest trends in dental technology. And, hundreds of articles came up and he started generating articles from those researched. Mm. And you can generate them in your own voice. Like we have the ability to train, if you have a body of work, if you've written stuff or you could write something, I want it in this voice. This is my voice. Or you want it in a very professional voice, whatever that is. Mm. And then, so you can generate, for example, you, Adam, could generate articles about, latest trends in podcast production.
Mm.
That's
interesting. And so I have so much content out there that we could put that content maybe into the, and wow, that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a great use case, by the way, a dentist, but that's just, that's one use case. I mean, but really there's no limit, right?
That's just an example. We have several. We have somebody who's in the legal field who's doing that right now, generating crazy amount of articles and putting it in various places. And,
That's awesome. It's a great story. Well, Vaughn, that's about the time we have here today. But that being said, I know that we're just scratching the surface really on Haywire AI and also what Wells is capable of doing. So for those that want to learn more or want to be part of the beta or just connect and follow the journey, how do they do that?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. We've been in a closed beta, invite only, for about 3 months. But literally at the end of this week or early next week, we're opening an open beta. So people
Awesome.
Who want to...
So today's, for everybody that's listening to this, by the way, we're recording this on March 4th. So maybe by mid-month at the latest, they should be able to get it, right? Am I off on that?
Yeah, literally within a week. So I'd say before, by probably the 10th, by the end of
Awesome.
This week even, they'll be able to go onto haywire.ai and sign up for our open beta. And if people who sign up for open beta get a massive discount that they get grandfathered in for. We're about to launch the actual product probably in about a month. So this is
That's amazing.
If you want it, this is the time.
Well, I'll be sure to get this put on a rush to make sure we get this thing, this out there so that my audience can take care of that discount. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, their business, their entrepreneurial story. We want to know what makes them tick, how they do what they do on a daily basis, because, hey, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, being in business is not easy. So we want to see how we can get those lessons and get them out to the public so everybody can learn and grow together from that. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, by the way, this is your personal invitation. Make sure you hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. Vaughn, hey, again, thank you so much. It was great to finally connect and get you on the show, man. Appreciate it and love what you're doing with your company. So thanks again.
Thank you, Adam. It was great to be here. I'll talk to you later.